You know, John, I guess first, let's just talk about your role as president, the new NCGA president, what that means to you, and some of the things that you're going to be focusing on in this role.
You know, it's such an honor to be the president of the National Corn Growers Association, representing 300,000 corn farmers and 40,000 members. You know, for me, this is a really kind of a critical year. We've been 2020 has been rough, and NCGA is focused on recovery. So, you know, I have a theme, and it's to leave no stone unturned. I'll do everything in my power to help this industry recover and grow. So, you know, the year here at home was a bit challenging weather-wise, not quite like it was for some folks across the Midwest. There have been some pretty major events in the past couple of years. We just suffered with 2 years of late planting because of rain and delayed harvest this year because of that as well. But we wrapped up last week, so really pleased to have a nice crop in the bin. And yeah, so we'll move forward looking at next year. But we've done our research. The COVID pandemic has certainly inflicted a great deal of decline to our marketplace. And certainly the trade with China phase one has been such a pleasant surprise to get a boost in our market at a time when we typically don't see it. So a very nice Thanksgiving gift, and hope it carries on past Christmas and that gift keeps giving into 2021. But that remains to be seen. There's plenty of other issues facing us, and that stability is not guaranteed at this point yet.
Yeah, and of course, like you said, the pandemic has made several impacts across the ag sector. How about ethanol? Did we see growth for biofuels in 2020, and what are the outlooks ahead for ethanol?
You know, the pandemic caused folks to shelter a bit, so the driving declined. So as you would imagine, as miles driven goes down, the need to fill up went down. And so blending for ethanol into the liquid fuels market declined and hasn't really come back to its full strength yet. There's been a few bright spots, but there are many in the ethanol industry that are still facing the pains of idling or reduced capacity impacting their profits. And that's a critical market for us. You know, we need to do everything we can to partner with them to get them to a better place. And so at NCGA, we're doing a near-term program, which we're calling a market recovery program, where we're engaged with those stakeholders in our value chain, you know, the livestock, the ethanol, and all the folks that buy corn and process and use it. So they've been very engaged with us in talking about how do we recover and grow from this, and what are the long-term market opportunities for corn going forward. So it's a good exercise, still in process, very near bringing some outcomes to the corn board. We're looking for that.
Where does E15 fit into the equation? I know a lot of the folks that I've talked to, you know, whether that be from Iowa Renewable Fuels or from Growth Energy, you know, they've really put a priority on, you know, finding the market for E15 moving forward.
You know, it's a really great victory to have year-round E15, and so the differences in its value at the pump are impactful to the consumer as well as to the environment. So it grants more corn. A little slow in its rollout. There's some confusion at the pump. There's some labeling issues we need answered and a few other things to really make it so the consumer realizes where the value is and allows those stations to capitalize on that, because, you know, they can now go to rather having an E10 system at their station as well as an E15, then go straight up all E15, and that brings a better return for those folks too. But that education process and that experience, you know, we have to educate, and we are, and we have to help them develop it, which we have the program at USDA. Acronym pronunciation, HBIP, you know, so we're working in that infrastructure space as well to try to advance E15, which will help. We also have Next Generation Fuels Act that Sherry Bustos introduced into the House, which more or less takes the cap off of blending limits, moves us out toward E25, E30, answers some of the regulatory harmonization issues surrounding that, but it also raises the octane. So if manufacturers can use a lighter, higher compression, more powerful engine, which will benefit the consumer as well as the corn grower and the environment.
Let's also talk about sustainability. I know that's a key issue that NCGA focuses on. And, you know, with everything with the pandemic, looking ahead to 2021, how is NCGA looking to help with sustainability for the farmer?
You know, we've got the Soil Health Partnership, which has been an excellent key program that doesn't try to pick any one practice, tries to look at the regional differences and find a value for farmers in that space. But, you know, this all melds really well into the ethanol industry, where farmers' practices, innovation, and technology have allowed us to start to recognize the full ability of corn as a growing plant to sequester carbon. And so that really fits well into a sustainability and environmental place. And so there may be market opportunities that come with that, as well as, you know, the advantage for the ethanol retailers to capitalize on, you know, the entire process to become a better staple in the marketplace in the liquid fuels, to take it to the next level where, you know, folks recognize the true values, for which they're a little bit hidden at this point. We need to get them out there. But sustainability, you know, we can define it in many ways, but economics at the farm gate is a critical part of sustainability. And those of us at NCGA are very focused on that, because every policy decision we make will be judged by its ability to grind more corn and provide for a sustainable future. Our programs will be evaluated and optimized to grind more corn and provide for that sustainable future, as you mentioned. And every person in our organization will be united in our focus on demand creation and providing for that sustainable future. So we're right there looking after our 300,000 corn farmers.
I know you hit on trade a little bit earlier, but, you know, with what we've seen this year with USMCA, also the, you know, U.S.-China Phase 1 agreement, and I know there's been a lot of talk about the U.S.-Japan trade agreement as well, especially in our talks with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. What is the climate like right now for trade heading into the new year?
You know, there's an appetite for furthering conversations in trade. As you mentioned, we've moved forward in several trade agreements. So, you know, of our 20 recent free trade partners, they account for more than 40% of total corn exports. You know, that's 33% of the U.S. corn farmers' income. And it's, you know, it means jobs as well. So as we think about moving into the new year, nothing will be lost on that conversation, because everyone in Congress realizes that agriculture, food, and related industries contribute over $1 trillion to the U.S. GDP. And that equates to jobs. 11% of U.S. employment is related to that, and 22 million full-time and part-time jobs. So I think we really can continue that conversation with Congress and start to look for those opportunities. You know, we're looking to re-energize the efforts in the Southeast Asia. 702 million people that have adopted a transition to a meat protein diet. What a wonderful place for corn and DDGs to land. So, you know, it's kind of critical to use what we've built in our current and recent trade agreements to use as a platform to reach out to new markets and keep moving on China. There's a lot of work to be done there, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, John, if any of our farmer listeners would like more information from NCGA, what are the ways to do that? I assume you guys are pretty connected online.
Oh, we are. NCGA.com will get you started. The National Corn Growers Association has a really great website with many easy-to-access tabs to talk about the issues that are most relevant to you, and there's opportunity there to give us feedback. So I'd encourage it. You know, Neil, leaving no stone unturned, you know, I can turn one stone over at a time, but, you know, we as farmers together, we can turn a lot of stones over and move mountains in a hurry. So we need to do this together. So I'd encourage folks to get engaged with us, get engaged with your state association. Boy, we appreciate those checkoff contributors. So critical to farming success, and particularly the corn.
Well, we really appreciate the time, John. Thanks so much for the info and the insight and taking time to join us. Stay safe, and again, have a good holiday.
You as well. Thank you again. Look forward to it the next time.
Again, that's John Linder, president of the National Corn Growers Association on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.